A Patriots Monday, that means Boomer Esiason joins us, brought to you by our friends at ElizabethGrady.com. Boomer Mutton, Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to talk to you guys as always. I would think that things are pretty good in Patriot land this morning.
Hey, before we get to that, I went to sleep. I know you don't sleep. Boomer never sleeps. What the hell happened to the Steelers last night? They were supposed to be making their move. They were supposed to be a threat to the New England Patriots the Chiefs.
It was an ultimate collapse, really, honestly. And it's almost as if when the momentum ball shifts in the middle of a game, or very few teams can overcome that shift. Now, I would say this goes back a little bit to last week and the week-long comments from Ben Roethlisberger. And if you remember, at this time last year, Ben was saying, you know, we got to get things tightened up around here. Well, tightened up means you don't lose games like they lost last night, and it's unfortunate that their season now all of a sudden is starting to come apart. I still think they're going to make it to the playoffs. I still think they'll be a formidable foe for the Patriots in a couple weeks, and I do think that because of the way things are run in Pittsburgh, that they will fall short of the Super Bowl. But last night was a collapse. Their fourth quarter was a disaster. And it's one of those things that, you know, in a game, and I've played in a lot of games like this on both sides, and on the losing side, it's almost like you can't stop the tidal wave of momentum. So I give Phillip Rivers a lot of credit last night for hanging tough, because at halftime, you would have thought that this game was going to be over, and the Chargers found a way really to win the game and just basically steal one from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the Chargers found a way to win, and the Patriots did what they usually do in December. It was not as easy as some people thought it was going to be. Boomer's 10-10, and the quintessential Patriots drive. Vikings get a field goal, tie the game late. You're thinking, okay, they're in it on the road. Four plays, 75 yards, touchdown for Devlin, and that was it. And I've seen that so many times with this Patriot team, where you think, okay, it's a competitive game, and they put together a big, quick, classic Tom Brady drive to extend the lead and essentially put the game away at that point.
And that's how you stem momentum. Yeah. And that's why they are so good at Gillette under Brady and Belichick. I think 33-4, Jerry was talking about earlier off the air. But it's amazing how they just steamrolled the Minnesota Viking defense. And the Viking defense is pretty good, guys. And I know this game was physical yesterday, and I know it was intense. I know the emotions were flowing. I know Adam Thielen was screaming at Bill Belichick and all of that kind of stuff. So it had everything that you wanted, you know, from a fan's perspective. But I think what we saw, especially in the second half, like we saw last night, there's a difference between a championship team who knows how to handle victory, who knows how to take victory away from a very good opposing team on their field. So that is right there, the difference between the Patriots and the Steelers. And unfortunately for Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, it seems like we're going down that road again.
Do you obviously December, they're pretty damn good, but they're not bad in January in Foxborough either, Boomer. Do you see anybody, including the Chiefs, Andy Reid and the Chiefs, coming in here on a cold Saturday night or Sunday night in January and winning?
Well, there would be two teams that I would say that I'd maybe give a nod to. One would be Baltimore, simply because John Harbaugh did it, although I can't see Lamar Jackson going into Gillette if, in fact, he is still the starting quarterback, if he doesn't get hurt before then because of the way he's playing right now. And maybe the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson is really playing well. Their defense is playing well. They're running the ball well. And that's the same thing with the Ravens. If you take a look at the Texans, the Ravens, the Seattle Seahawks, they're all kind of the same teams. They got off to really slow starts, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the season, they really turned their seasons around because they started running the ball effectively. Now, of course, Lamar Jackson's a big part of that in Baltimore, and I can just imagine that Bill Belichick and his defense will come up with the defensive plan if they have to play the Ravens to shut down whatever passing game there really is in Baltimore. So I think it's a little bit fugazi there. I know it's physical. I know it's nasty football in terms of the defensive side of the ball, but I don't see Lamar Jackson being able to really do that. But I think the game may be close just simply because of the experience of the Ravens. Could I see the Chargers come in and win? I think if they get Melvin Gordon back and they're healthy, the way that they played in the fourth quarter last night without Melvin Gordon would, you know, lead me to believe that that should be a pretty good game against Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady if that were the case. I do worry about the Kansas City Chiefs because I don't think their defense is all that good. And I think that defense was exploited yesterday by Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders. They're going to have to keep home field advantage. And Tom right. Brady and Bill Belichick will tell you guys that going into Arrowhead Stadium is not that easy when that defense seems to get all revved up with the noise.
And they have some tough games, too. Do you obviously I know you've talked a lot about the Kareem Hunt thing. We have too. Does that affect them on the field? I mean, the Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders is one thing. They got the Chargers. They go to Seattle. They play the Ravens. I mean, they got a tough stretch. Do you see that mess affecting this team?
Well, let me start by saying, number one, the Kansas City Chiefs did the right thing. The San Francisco 49ers finally did the right thing, and the Washington Redskins are an embarrassment, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody does take Kareem Hunt off of waivers by 4 o'clock today. That's just the way the world is in the NFL, and that team will take the slings and arrows that come along with the criticisms of taking a guy who has basically punched and hit a woman, I should say. So I would think that he will find his way back on the field. Now, as far as it concerns the Kansas City Chiefs, I said this yesterday also, there are probably about 3 or 4 coaches in the NFL that could handle something like this. Bill Belichick would be one of them. Andy Reid would be one of them. Pete Carroll would be one of them. This guy's been around a long time, and they will deliver a message of next man up, and that would be Spencer Ware. They'll figure out other ways to move the football. Patrick Mahomes ran a little bit yesterday. So I think it does hurt them. There's no question about it because Kareem was one of the better running backs in football. But I think because of their coach and because of their quarterback and the other assets they have in offense, they'll still put up 30 a game.
Did you buy the NFL over the weekend saying they could not get their hands on that tape, Boomer? Because to me, 4 years later, it's Ray Rice all over again. They didn't care to see the tape. They let TMZ get it. And they get caught with their pants down. I'm just surprised shocked it's happened again 4 years later.
Well, might I be careful about how I would describe that? It's not that they didn't care to get the tape. They really did try to get the tape, but they only have so much legal recourse to do it. You know, they are not a legal entity. They are an NFL. The NFL is a private industry trying to manage its private employees. I thought Amy Trask really explained it extremely well from a executive standpoint. Look, the NFL does not want these tapes out there. I mean, they want to do everything they can to control the behavior of their players. And I'm telling you, if you have Tom Brady on later on, just ask him, you know, what is it like to sit in a meeting room in the summer when the NFL goes over these things again and again and again and again and warns these players about, you know, late night issues like this. Be smart who you surround yourself with. Don't get yourself involved in something. And I'm just thinking, out of the 31 other teams out there, there's probably other guys that have gotten themselves in these situations. We just haven't heard about it.
Right.
And that's the sad part of it all, that they don't learn, or some guys don't learn. I can't say everybody. I just think some guys don't learn that, you know, you just can't do what Kareem did back in February. And then when you see his interview on ESPN, yeah. I do think he is contrite. I, you know, there's a lot of things to be cynical about. There's a lot of things to take issue with and everything else. But he's right. He lied to the Kansas City Chiefs. He admitted that. He's embarrassed by the video. Of course he is, because if you watch the video and that, if that were you in the video, you'd be embarrassed. And now he's got to get his act together. But he's 23 years old. He's cheap. He's very talented. That's why I think I wouldn't be surprised if somebody does pick him up before the trading or the waiver deadline expires this afternoon.
Any guesses on which team that would be?
I mean, could it be Cleveland? They have the first pick. You know,
and John Dorsey drafted him, right, in Kansas City?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know all the internal discussions that go on with these teams. Obviously, the Redskins fumbled their whole thing with Reuben Foster and looked embarrassed and you made, you know, tried to Doug Williams out there, and he just made a fool of himself. So I don't know exactly who's going to do something like this. I know I wouldn't touch him if I were in a front office. I may touch him after the fact, when he goes through whatever process he's got to go through to get himself right and make amends, then maybe I sign him as a free agent. But I don't necessarily know that I would. I'd pick him up off the waiver claim.
Yeah, that's my take. You got to pay a price. You got to pay a price legally before you get a second chance. That's the crazy thing, the annoying thing with the Reuben Foster. I mean, they signed him 72 hours.
Yeah.
after he got busted.
It makes no sense. It really doesn't. And then to come out and try to explain it the way that Doug Williams tried to explain it. Now, to Doug Williams' credit, he did come out and he apologized after the fact. But you talk about a muddled message and something that was totally screwed up. But it doesn't surprise me that the Redskins would do something like this. You know, this is a franchise that basically you feel like it's been running to the ground the last 10 years. So it's not surprising.
And under the radar was Adrian Peterson admitting that he still uses his belt on his kid.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, that's a whole other issue. So,
do you ever think?
I can't stand talking about all this stuff. I'd rather talk about the great football that we had played and all the great young stars that we have in the league and the fact that the Rams were the first to clinch their division yesterday over a victory over the Lions.
We saw last night on TV, Tony Dungy was got a little emotional that Mike McCarthy got fired and it was unfair to fire a Super Bowl winning coach during the season. Do you think it was unfair the way they dismissed him after the game yesterday? It's not a surprise based on, you know, Rodgers yesterday, Rodgers all week, Boomer. This was going to happen. I don't think it's a big deal it happens during the year.
No, I don't think it really is either, other than the fact that he is a Super Bowl winning coach. He had been there, I think, for 13 years, 9 playoff appearances, and nobody likes to see coaches fired. Maybe Green Bay wanted to get a quick start on the replacement and make sure that they have all their ducks in a row. The only thing I would say is that I don't know the internal things that are going on in any of these organizations. So you never know if, like, Mike McCarthy came in and saw Mark Murphy, their president of the Packers, and said, you know, I can't control the quarterback anymore, man. This is ridiculous. You know, maybe that conversation happened. Maybe he forced the issue. Maybe he wants to make sure wherever there may be a job opening that, you know, he's ready now, that, you know, he's going to take the next 4 weeks to try to put a staff together. I mean, that's what's going on in the NFL now for the bottom feeders, the guys that are going to get fired. They know they're getting fired. You know, the Jets here with Todd Bowles know he's getting fired. So everybody on that staff, all 24 freaking coaches, are out there texting their friends and trying to figure out where their next job is going to be, because the insecurity behind the scenes in the NFL is significant, and it gets even more significant this time of year.
Yeah, your friend Chris Collinsworth said Mike McCarthy deserved better. What's better? Just wait, letting him play out the string, not make the playoffs, and do it in, you know, January, or get it over with and give him a chance to, you know, look for there's going to be a bunch of head coaching opportunities for McCarthy. Get out there and look for your next job.
You know, where I come from, it's like, why put a guy through the last month of the season and have his family go through the excruciating process of just listening to all the fans calling for his head? And, you know, the same thing here with Todd Bowles. I thought that they would have fired him after the Buffalo Bills debacle at home, because they had a bye week in between and, you know, they could figure out who would be the interim coach. I feel bad for Todd, because I do like Todd, but unfortunately this thing has gone south on him too. So now if they don't fire him today and they let him go through the rest of the season, it's excruciating. And everybody, you see, the other problem is everybody in the building know what's going to happen. So now everybody walks around on eggshells and they have to make a decision on the general manager, Mike McCagnan, down here. I mean, these are the things that these owners get themselves into. So I always say quick and decisive, right, make a move and, you know, put people out of their misery and then let people know out there that your job is open and that you're looking for a guy that's going to change the franchise's fortunes around.
Josh McDaniels is on a lot of the short lists, but not, I assume, the Jets. He's probably not going to the Jets. Who do people down there want? But who's the next guy?
Wow, I mean, it's you know, people. A lot of people are talking about Mike McCarthy already this morning. I think some people are probably well, you see, I don't know who's going to be available totally yet from the rest of the NFL teams. There'll be two or three guys that we didn't expect getting fired that will be fired. I think the Jet fan most likely wants a experienced head coach. The Jets, for years now, have gone down the coordinator, route, with whether it be Todd Bowles or Rex Ryan or Herman Edwards, Bruce Coslett, you know, kinds like that. So, even Pete Carroll was here for a year. So I think most Jet fans would want an established head coach that has a Super Bowl ring, and I would think that Mike McCarthy would be at the top of that list.
Did the team stop calling your pal Bill Cowher? Is that over?
I think it's over, but I do think that they probably call for consultation and people to look at and things of that nature. He loves his life. He actually just bought a new house down here in Westchester County, which is just north of New York City. And, you know, he's married, he's got a beautiful wife, and they do travel extensively. And she's actually a performer. She sings and she plays the guitar and she's in a rock band. It's really crazy.
Really?
It's fun. Yeah, we go see her when she plays here in New York. And Coach Cowher, you would never know that it was Coach Cowher. I'm like, yeah, that's Coach Cowher. And he's living life and he's loving life right now.
Patriots fans, love and life, Boomer. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
You too,
see
Boomer.
Boys. That is Boomer Esiason, brought to you by our friends at ElizabethGrady.com. Headlines with Chris Curtis next.